But I do want to remind us of a scripture that we read last week, talking about this high level love, this agape love of God, this unconditional love that God loved us and sent Jesus in spite of us, in spite of our sin, in spite of our wrong, in spite of our mistakes. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish. Whosoever would believe on him would not perish. See, there, that right there does away with, well, we're all the children of God, doesn't it? Right? He said, whosoever shall believe on him would not perish. Unfortunately, there are people perishing, but it's because they've chosen not to believe on love himself. Amen? Right? But I want to read this verse to you that I read last week, and it says this. How many know? I would like to know what real love is, right? We talked about real love last week, didn't we? It says real love. It says 1 John 4:16. You don't have to turn there, and it's not in the slides, so I'm just refreshing. Elijah's like, well, okay then. Okay. All right. It says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So what is real love? When we give our lives up for others. Right? You know, and that's the biggest, I think that's one of the biggest challenges in a marriage relationship, isn't it? I just spoke with a gentleman on the phone today that has said goodbye to his marriage. And he's moving away and he's like, okay, I'm done. And his biggest issue is because he has yet to learn how to die to himself. You know, and when Heather and I do marriage counseling, one of the very first things that I tell the couples is you're not really moving towards a wedding as much as you're moving towards two funerals. And of course, that immediately gets their attention. They're like, wait a minute. We're here for marriage counseling. We're here to, because we're going to have a wedding. And I explain to them, yes, I'm aware of that. But if you don't learn that it's going to be two funerals, what do I mean by that? Both of you have got to learn to die to yourself. You cannot have a successful marriage if you refuse to die to your own selfish ambitions, because you're fixing to have someone move in with you and they are not going to be like you. They may actually pick up their clothes. They may actually put their clothes where they go. They may not just fling their dirty underwear wherever, right? Whereas you, maybe you like to just live wild and free and just fling them wherever you want to. They can hang on the lampshade as far as you're concerned. But see, you can't go in and say, well, listen, this is the way I live. I like living like a pig. And you're just going to have to learn. Remember, we're talking about love, right? See? Two of Noah's sons backed up backwards to cover up the nakedness of their father, right? So we're in love here. Okay, so, but they've got to learn, they've got, and that's what we teach them is you've got to learn to die to yourself. This is a lesson it took me years to get a grasp on. I'm not saying that I'm perfect at it, and Heather certainly ain't going to tell you I'm perfect at it. But I have gotten a lot better, right? But it took me some years. So what I'm trying to do is help these couples to get on my shoulders, right? What I've learned and go from where I am and not have to go through all the stuff that I've gone through. See, that's what all of us parents want for our children, right? We don't want them to have to start where we started. That's why we try to instill into them what we know. So they can start where we're at and go further than we've ever gone. That's what any good, loving parent's going to want, right? And so we teach these couples, but it's all about the love of God. And that's what love does. And that's what it says here. It says, we know what real love is because, and then he gives the definition of it. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Isn't that good? Yeah. Amen. Well, let's get into tonight's message. And go with me to Go with me to 1 John. Oh, actually, right where I was, actually. 1 John and chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I want to talk to you tonight about the love quest. And that'll all make sense when we get down to the end of this. But the love quest. The Bible tells us that we're to make love a quest. Now, a quest is not something you do just one time, is it? If you're on a quest, man, you're on a journey. You're like, I'm in it to win it type of attitude, right? I'm not in until, you know, something goes wrong. I'm in this to conquer this thing, right? I'm in here to be a champion of this thing. And that's what a quest is. And so the Bible tells us to make love a quest, right? But let's look at this. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, it says this. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Now, there's a good question, isn't it? Have we really put our trust in his love for us? See, because until you can put your trust in his love for you, your love for him really amounts to nothing. Right? Because your love for him is, this is kind of crazy, but your love for him has got to be empowered by his love for you. In fact, there's another verse that says, it's not that we first loved him, but that he first loved us and poured his love into us. So it's like God's like, okay, I need them. They're going to need to love me. So I'm going to pour my love into them so they can love me. Right? Not make them love me, but I'm going to give them the ability. Now listen, this is awesome. Watch, listen to this. God's like, I'm going to give them the ability to love like I love. For them to be my children, then they have to be children of love. So for them to be children of love, for them to take on my characteristics, they've got to have my nature. Right? So he says here, he says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. Now, we're not talking about living in, ooh, I'm in love. We're not talking about that kind of love, the love between a husband and a wife or friendship. We're not talking about that kind of love. We're talking about agape love. We're talking about this high-level love. We're talking about God's kind of love, right? And so that's what he's talking about when he says this. He says, God is love, and all who live in agape live in agape. You could say it that way because God is love. Isn't that what it said? God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. You could very much say it this way. Love is love. And all who live in love. And love lives in them. Because God is love. You can't say you love God and not love people. You can't say you love God and not love all people. All people, right? God's called us to love everybody. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, no matter what crime, sin, mistake, stuff they've done, it doesn't matter. Please understand, though, I'm not saying, God does not even say, I have called you to trust everybody. There's a difference between loving someone and trusting them. Right? Love is unconditional. We are to love unconditionally, but trust is something that is earned. Right? They have to earn our trust. Especially if they've done things to hurt us. No. I'm not going to throw myself out there and let you hurt me again. But I'm not going to be bitter towards you either. Because bitterness is an open door for the enemy to come in and create all kinds of problems. people's bodies break down under bitterness. People's bodies break down from the stress and the emotional turmoil of being bitter and unforgiving towards somebody else. Right? So we've got to learn. And here's the cool thing is because God has given us this amazing love that we don't have to love them our way. We can love them the way God says to love them. And he gives us that love to love them with. And that saves us a whole life full of stress and emotional turmoil and all that because God is helping me to love the person that seems to be so unlovable. Right? So all who live in love, live in love, right? All who live in love, live in God, for God is love, right? Go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we're going to look at what the identity of a disciple. You talk about being a disciple of Christ, what do you think about? You think about, you know, maybe reading the writings of Jesus, reading things he said and did, and doing your best to kind of do that and try, I want to be like Jesus. I want to go around, lay hands on the sick and then recover. I want miracles to happen through me. I want this to happen. I want that. I want all this supernatural, powerful stuff going on, right? We read the things Jesus did, and we want to be like that. We're going to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, right? Well, let's look at what the Bible says the identity of a true disciple is. In verse 34, John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, verse 34, it says this, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Oh, excuse me, let me scratch out that word commandment. Jesus, I'm sure what Jesus meant to say, see, that's what some people do when they read their Bibles, right? I'm sure what he meant was, and they say something that kind of helps their flesh to be able to handle it. Instead of saying, I'm going to die to my flesh. Oh, that's what Jesus said? That means I got to change. No, well, people don't do that anymore, do they? They read their Bible and go, okay, well, I know what he really meant. He didn't mean it like that. You know, what he really meant. So, well, if the Bible was written in our day, it would have probably said it like this. Do what you want, live like you want, treat people how you want. Because we're all the children of God and we're all going to be in heaven one day. Right? That would be a very erroneous and messed up version of the Bible, wouldn't it? But let's look at what Jesus actually said. So Jesus is speaking. He says, now I am giving you not a new suggestion, a new option, a new preference, right? He says, I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each. Man, he said it twice. As if he thought he needed to repeat that. For some reason, right? So I'm giving you this new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Oh, here we go again. Number three. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So you can't really be a true disciple of Jesus, right? Without walking in love. Because he says the true mark of my disciples, people are going to know you are my disciple because of your love for one another. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that uncomfortable? Doesn't that kind of suck in a way? It's kind of like, oh my gosh, did he have to say it like that? Right? But nevertheless, it's in the book. And Heather's right, his grace is sufficient. He graces us to love this way. Amen. So the true identity of a disciple is one, he says, for your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Why? Because they can't love this way. The world can't love like this. They might try to fake it for a little bit. But they can't stick to it. Why? Because if they are spiritually dead, they do not have the power to love this way. The world can't love this way because they don't have love in their heart. They don't have God. If they don't have God, they don't have this kind of love. But because we have God, we've got this amazing love that we can love others with. And we can show this world how amazing the church of Jesus Christ is because we love one another. But when the church comes into the church, when the world comes into the church and they see brothers and sisters in the Lord bickering and fighting and back-talking and what is it? Talking behind their backs and what's the word? Gossiping. All this about one another. They see all the bickering. Then they're like, I could have went and had coffee with my neighbor next door and got that. Because they fight all the time. But when they come to church, and that's what they come. That's what happens when people come to the Difference Church. Right? This is the report we keep getting. Man, they are so loving. They are so loving. Right? We want to be that loving church. Right? Now, we don't accept all of... He said, well, if you're going to love me, you got to accept the way that I am. No. I can love you without accepting your goofy ways, right? I can love you without accepting your sin. You may have a certain lifestyle that doesn't agree with the Bible, and I can love you and I can love you. We can go to have coffee. We can, I can be kind to you. Everything can be fine in that regard. But that doesn't mean that I accept your goofy ways of living, your wrong ways of living. That doesn't mean that I don't love you, though. We can love in spite of that. And this is what's so cool. When we learn how to love people in spite of them, in spite of the people, that eventually pulls on their heartstrings. They're like, wow, what? I don't get this because I can't love people that aren't like me. I'm having a hard time loving them even though they're loving me because they're not like me. But because we have the love of God, we can love people right where they're at, in spite of where they're at, and allow the Holy Spirit just to begin to minister to them. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. You guys getting anything out of this tonight? Come on, this is good stuff. Did you know that love is the greatest, without exception, love is the greatest subject in the whole Bible? It's the greatest subject. Well, no, I think faith is the greatest subject. Well, faith works by love. And if you're going to say faith is the greatest subject, then you're going to say faith is greater than God. Because God is love. Who and what is the greatest subject in the Bible? God, which is love, right? So there is no greater calling than to walk in the love of God. Pastoring a church is not a greater calling than walking in love. Traveling the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to get people saved and lead people to the Lord, that is not greater than walking in love. No matter what you can come up with, there's nothing greater. There's no higher calling. Man, I just want God to call me. Man, I feel called. I just want to go. I want to do this. But all the time you're being mean and nasty with people. Right? No, God is not pleased with our activity when it is not motivated by love. Right? All right, so James chapter 2. James chapter 2 verse 8 says this. Yes, indeed, it is. And listen to this. This is awesome. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law. What is the royal law? Love. The royal law. Oh, my goodness. It's the love of God. It says, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, now that tells us that we've got to learn how to love ourselves, right? Sometimes it's not forgiving other people you need to forgive. Sometimes it's forgiving yourself. It's about loving yourself. It's about looking yourself in the mirror and saying, you're awesome. You're forgiven. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're an amazing servant of God. You're an amazing man or woman of God. If you're a man, don't say you're a woman, right? And vice versa, but you know what I'm saying, right? You're an amazing child of God. And like we learned last week, and you are very good looking. Remember Keith Moore used to do that? In our class, had an instructor. He would have us make this long confession, and he'd end it with, and you are very good looking. How many know you got to kind of love yourself to? Yeah. No, you got to be careful not to love yourself too much. But saying that, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about being arrogant and being conceited and all this. But we are talking about declaring what the Word says about you. One of the greatest things you could do to love yourself is to declare what the Word says about you. I wouldn't listen too much about what people say, good or bad. You could end up very depressed or very arrogant doing that, right? But when you're looking at what the Word says about you and declaring what the Word says about you, that's a good place to start in loving yourself, right? Because you can't give what you don't have. You cannot love people if you have not got love for yourself and realize that God loves you. And listen to this, because God loves you so much, that makes you extremely valuable. And us as believers, as love people, we should always be looking for ways to add value to every person we're around. Sometimes, listen, that's not hard. Sometimes adding value to someone is just as you walk by, you just kind of smile at them. Hey, how are you today? What'd you just do? You acknowledge them. That added value to them. That made them, even subconsciously, they're thinking, oh, somebody noticed me. Maybe it's been weeks since they felt like anybody noticed them. Right? But because you just smiled at them, or offered to hold the door for them, or anything, I mean, just smile at them, hey, how are you? Have a great day. That's the love of God. That's adding value. And that's what the love of God in us does. It's there to help us to add, not only for us to have value, but to take the value that we have and value others with our value, making us all valuable. See, that's what the love of God does. And when you look at what Jesus did on the cross for us, that should speak volumes of value to you. That God loved you so much that he sent Jesus, his only son, to die on the cross for us so that we could live in eternity. God loved us so much that he sent his son to go through what he went through, die on the cross for us, right? Just so we could live in eternity with God. God's like, okay, there's only one way I can get this done. But I want them. I want as many of them as I can possibly get with me in eternity. I love them so much, I want to be around them all the time. In fact, I love them so much that I want to live in them. So I'm going to send Jesus, my son, my only son, and I'm going to have him go through what has to go through so he can help me to redeem these precious people that I created back to me because I want them forever. Man, that should make you feel so valuable. Did you know it's not wrong to not value, excuse me, it's not wrong to value yourself. What is very wrong is when you don't value yourself. But we've got, so you can't give what you don't have. So you've got to realize, whoa, God loves me. He loves me so much, right? So it says here, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that something? All right. Where am I at? That's James 2:8. All right. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Learn to value yourself so you can value others. Learn to value yourself so you can value others. Listen, if you're sitting here tonight and you just, or you're listening to this maybe later online or CD, whatever. Listen, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, I just don't see any value in myself. Let me just tell you, God loves you. And that right there should add value to you. But we've got to come to that place where we believe this love, right? We it's not enough just to hear that God loves us, but we have to choose to believe in the love that God has for us, right? Believing that, man, anyone that would love me so much that they would give up their only son to go through what Jesus went through, to express his love for me so I could be in eternity with him. You just got to choose to believe that, because that's how much God loves you, right? All right, so 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7, it says this, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God." Anyone who loves like this, right? Not just, "Oh, I love you." You know how many times I hear that on a school bus every day? "Oh, I love you, 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 I love you." Right? It's all over the high schools. It's all over the middle schools. "Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you." Right? "I just met you, but I love you." It's like, okay, that's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of love that is unconditional love. It's this high-level love. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God." If you can't love like this, then you don't know God. Because why? Because it goes back to Romans chapter 5, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, when we give our hearts to Christ, when we give our hearts to the Lord, then he pours his love by the power of the Holy Spirit. He pours his love into us. So that's what we said last week, is God's love is in every single person. But what we went on to say last week is, but you have to put on this love. See, just because God poured it into you doesn't mean that you're just going to begin walking in this love. And it's not going to happen accidentally. And so we said this. We said you've got to reach into your spiritual closet and take this garment of love off of the hanger and put it on. You know, I'm choosing to walk in love today. Right? It's not going to happen accidentally. It's something that you have to be very intentional about. And he says here, he says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of love and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." See, this is the second verse where it says that God is love, right? So three things real quickly about how to walk in love. Number one, be quick to repent. And these are not, this is just all what I'm thinking to say is number one. Okay. How to walk in love. Number one, be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe. Quick to repent. What does that mean? That means change your way of thinking. You see in the Bible one thing, but you always thought or believe something else. You say, no, I've always thought to think low of myself, very little of myself. You know, my pastors used to teach me, you know, maybe you got some religious pastor in your past somewhere, and they taught you that you're never supposed to think highly of yourself. Bible says don't think more highly of yourself. The Bible says do not think more highly of yourself than you should. That means you should think highly of yourself. But just don't think more highly of yourself than you should. In other words, God don't want you going around calling yourself trash. God don't want you going around talking about his workmanship. Did you know the Bible tells us in Romans 8 that we are the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus? So when you're going around calling yourself stupid, you're going around saying, God, your work is stupid, because we are created in the image of God and we are his workmanship, and he don't want you talking down and little and belittling yourself because you are his workmanship. What you should be doing is saying about you what he has said about you, and it's going to build your self-esteem. It's going to add value to you. You're going to learn how to love yourself, and now you're going to be able to go out and love your neighbor just like you love yourself. And because you're doing such a good job loving yourself, they're going to feel valued. And then they're eventually going to want to know, whoa, why why are you treating me this way? Well, God, I just want you to know, man, God just loves you so much. Amen. So be quick to repent. Change your way of thinking. Quick to forgive. Somebody does something that hurts you, let it go. Boom. You know, it's what I've learned in my marriage. And early on, when I would let that kind of simmer on me for like hours, sometimes even days, do you know, did anybody besides myself do that and realize how incredibly difficult and hard it was to come back and say I'm sorry 3 days later? What you prefer to do is this. Well, I'm just gonna, you know what? I'm just going to act like it never happened. But God don't want us to act like things just never happened. Now, he's not wanting us to hold things against people, but that's why the Bible teaches us to be quick to forgive. What he says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. What does that mean? There's got to be some kind of spiritual metaphorical meaning. No, this is what it means. Do not let the sun disappear while you're mad. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. Hey, ask me how to do it. I can tell you because I've been working on this for years. I'm getting pretty good at it. Right? I'm getting it down to where I don't actually leave the room. I don't even let her leave the house now. I mean, it's like something happens. I'm like, no, wait, honey, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something, guys. Listen, guys and girls, I'm talking to everybody. It is so much easier to apologize when you do it quickly. Right? You just, I'm sorry. I had a bad chili dog. I don't know what was wrong with me, but, you know, that's what I did was wrong. And I apologize. I love you so much. Please forgive me for hurting you. Right? And listen, and if someone does that to you, be quick to accept the apology, right? Don't you be the one going, I don't know if I believe you, I don't know, and all, and you're expecting them to do all these jumping through hoops and play a circus game or something to try to convince you. Don't do that. That's manipulation, and that is not of God, right? We're going to love. Love apologizes, and love is quick to forgive, right? Okay, so number one, be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe. You know what? When the enemy says something that God's mad at you or whatever, don't believe it. Be quick to say, no, I believe God. I believe God loves me. His word says to me. How do I know? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so, right? That's how I know. Oh, that's a children's song. That's a children's song talking about the Word of God. Listen, Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. So be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe. All right, that's number one. Number two, real quickly. So since we're talking about being quick, I'm going to be quick. Okay, maybe not as quick as you thought, but quicker than what it could take. Okay. Yeah, there's my disclaimer. I'm throwing that. That's that fine print statement in the bottom of the contract. Okay. All right, number two, how to walk in love. Okay, number one, be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe. Number two, keep looking into the perfect law of liberty. All right, that's our next verse, James 1:25. And it says this. It says, but if you look carefully. Everybody say carefully. How many know that's not a flippant, glazing look? Right? You're not grazing by. It's not just a zoom like that. You're looking intently, right? It says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, which is, by the way, the royal law, the law of love, will set you free. Because how can it set you free? Well, if you're walking in love and you're quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe, well, that's going to set you free, isn't it, from holding on the bondages. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then, everybody say then. Then. Say then. Then. Okay. Then God will bless you for doing it. You've got to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Right? So, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So number two, we got to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty. Keep looking into the law of love. Keep looking into the word of God and let it shape you, right? And number three, pray in the spirit. Come on, pray in the spirit, right? Use your prayer language. This is in the Bible, right? Jude, verse 20. There's only one chapter. Jude, verse 20. And I'm reading out of the New King James. It says this, but you, beloved, he's talking to believers, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, right? Praying in your prayer language. Keep yourselves in the love of God. But you, beloved, verse 20, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's how you build yourself up on your most holy faith. And by doing this, you keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How many of you know we could all afford to extend mercy to people? See, we got to be looking for ways to extend mercy, not grudges, not hold grudges, not take a grudge, but give mercy. Not take a grudge, but give mercy to people, right? Listen, this is interesting, because why pray in the Spirit? Why is that so important? Because when you're praying in the Spirit, you're actually, you know, the Bible says that the tongue is the most unruly member of the body. It's the most unruly, so hard to discipline the tongue, right? But when we submit our tongue to the Holy Spirit, that is helping us to get control of our tongue, and then the Holy Spirit helps us to learn self-control, right? So he says, build yourself upon your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. What does this do for me? It helps me to keep myself in the love of God, right? Looking for mercy and not for grudges. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. All right, one last verse, and it's in the Amplified. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, and this is where I said that the title of my message would all come into focus. All right, we talked about the love quest, right? Look at this, we're not going to read all that, but that's just what pops up when you punch that in. Let's see. All right, I'm going to read it out of my Amplified, and they have some, you know, kind of newer versions that they kind of reword things a little bit. But we'll read it there. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Yeah, that's the one I got. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Make it your aim, your great quest. We've got to make this love our greatest ambition. It's our greatest quest. It's greater than the spiritual gifts. It's greater than winning millions of people to the Lord. It's greater than any of the things that you can read in the Bible about, right? It's greater than getting swallowed by a whale and spit out on the ground, right? It's greater, right? It's greater than all those things. Make love, make this should be the most important subject to you, because this is going to help you to accomplish and conquer a lot of things. The things that seem to hold you back, because you're learning about how much God loves you and that he has poured his great into you so you can, it helps you to love others. It's the greatest subject in the whole world. This, and that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, pursue this love. Make this your greatest quest, right? I'm not going to look for ways to blame people. I'm not going to look for ways to be bitter towards people. Right? I'm going to look for ways to love them. Now, I know for some people, this is a little bit harder than maybe for others. But I'm telling you, that's why the Lord's speaking this to us, isn't he? Because he says, this is the greatest quest. This is your greatest quest. Make this, pursue this. eagerly pursue. Pursue this love. Make this love your greatest quest, because it is the most important thing that you as a believer could ever, ever learn to do, is to walk in His love. And remember what John told us. He said, by this people will know that you are my disciples. He didn't say by all your super spiritual gifts, right? He didn't say by walking, by all the abundance, and he didn't say all these other things that we could talk about. He said, by this people will know. This is the one thing that's going to show people that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. Isn't that good? Amen. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Go ahead and stand up on your feet.